Lord has, for some time, had these verses of Scripture on my heart out of Habakkuk chapter number 3, and I want to look at the very first two verses. So I'll ask you to stand with us this morning. We'll read, and then we'll pray. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Sometime the Lord has birthed these verses of Scripture into my heart. The book of Habakkuk has always been special to me. These verses today, may the Lord just stir your soul with them today. Father, I pray you'd help us this morning to stand behind the sacred desk with a copy of the Word of God in our hand, the Holy Ghost living and dwelling in our soul, and Jesus reigning upon the throne of our life. God, would you help us today, Lord, to stand, just wicked old flesh we are, but saved by the grace and blood of Jesus Christ. Would you help us to stand this morning and preach to your people today? And God, I praise you, Father, for the good number of folks that are here today. God, I pray that you would bless them with the Spirit to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Help them, God, not only to hear the Word of God, but help us, Father, to respond in obedience, and help us, Lord, to become doers of the Word. Lord, we need your help. Thank you for the good singing of this day. Thank you for the good testimonies that we've heard, the good handshakes and fellowships and the warmth that we feel in the house of God. But Lord, today there is a need. You have a purpose. And I pray today, God, you'd help us to stand and plow with the gospel plow, preaching the Word of God. For we ask this favor in the worthy name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated. There are five things that I think we need to see in verse number 2. The title of our message today, the Lord wanted me to give you, was A Prayer for Revival. Our country needs revival. Our churches need revival. Peter said that judgment must first begin at the house of God. We are in need of revival. We hear Habakkuk say, Oh Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. That makes me think, first of all, about the report. Habakkuk said, I have heard thy speech. What has he heard the Lord say? Well, Habakkuk lived in a day when the nation of Israel had departed from the Lord God. He lived in a day when he saw the sins of the people, and he was greatly burdened. In fact, the very first chapter of the book and the first verse says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. So he did see the sins of the people. And it appears as he looks at the nation of Israel that the cause of God is in danger. Sin and wickedness seem to be rampant in the nation of Israel. And if you look at our churches and you look at our nation today, it looks like sin and wickedness are rampant. He would even mention that violence fills the land. And it seems that when they're brought to justice, that the offenders are not punished. That's what seems to be happening in that day. It's as if the work of God in the land of Israel is about to die or about to become extinct. And may I say to you, in the United States of America, that old time religion is alive and well. But there are folks who are doing their best by the world's help to kill it off. And wants to make old time religion to become extinct. It seems that in Habakkuk's day there was little care for the things of God. And things were slipping worse and worse and worse. It seemed like few in Habakkuk's day were interested in truth. Few were interested in righteousness. Isaiah 150 years before had said that truth has fallen in the street. And that's the state of our nation today. The truth has fallen in the street. And the problem is, even among the professing believers, there was little concern for the things of God. Our churches nowadays will schedule revival, and rather than people get excited about revival come to their church, they say, oh man, they'll expect me to come to church 4 or 5 times this week. And that's what Habakkuk was facing, and it's what we face today in our churches. Few seem to be interested about the things of God. I tell you, when I woke up this morning, I had heaven on my mind. I began to pray and seek the face of Jesus. And I got up and I said, this is the day that I've prayed for so long. This is the day that the revival meeting begins. And I was stirred in my soul today because I knew this was the day. I can't hardly even see for crying. Thank God. Now Habakkuk, he begins to wonder, oh God, how long are you going to allow the wicked to prosper? How long are you going to allow this work of God to go on and look like it's dying and becoming extinct? God, won't you do something about evil? Won't you do something about affliction? God, won't you do something about oppression? We need deliverance, is what Habakkuk is thinking. Can I get a witness? He looks and says, God, where yet when all these things are going on? Verse 6 of chapter 1. This is the Lord speaking. He says, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. God said, I am going to do something about it. The whole time I've been seeing what's going on, and I've been preparing the Babylonians to come and invade Israel, and I'm going to carry away this apostate nation into captivity for 70 years. God told him what he was going to do. And God is going to allow Babylon to chastise Israel. And Habakkuk hears these words from God. He'd been praying for deliverance. He'd been praying, oh God, where are you at? God says, I'm right here. I'm going to wear your hide out. So down here in verse 13, Habakkuk begins to complain to the Lord. He says, thou art of purer evils than to behold evil, that pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? He uses his complaint. He says, Lord, I tell you there's evil here, and I know now you've seen it, but you're going to use a nation more wicked than us to come and chastise us? You're going to discipline us by folks that are more wicked than we are? He says, Lord, I've been praying for salvation, not discipline. Lord, I've been praying for salvation, not devastation. Hello, America. We're looking for salvation, but God's reviving may come through a time of discipline. It may come through a time of devastation. Ooh-wee. Habakkuk begins to protest. He says, it ain't fair, Lord, that a wicked people's used to chastise us. I mean, I know we're sinful, but Lord have mercy, we ain't really that bad, are we? Huh? What about that? Habakkuk's really got this thing all messed up. So he's heard the report. He said, Lord, I heard thy speech. What did he hear? God said, I am going to discipline the nation. I am going to chastise the people. That's the report. Habakkuk said, Lord, I heard what you said. Number 2, and reality set in. I was afraid. I heard what you said, and I was afraid. We have this mentality that every time God speaks to us, it's going to be something good. Expect something good to happen to you today. Hey, we have a good God, and he's been very merciful. But sometimes you almost have to think, I know something bad is probably going to happen today because the devil's going to fight, the world's going to be against me, my flesh is probably going to mess up. And you realize this morning that when the Lord speaks to you, it ain't always good, but it's for your good. God spoke to a lot of churches. They didn't like it. He's trying to straighten them out. Hello. When God showed himself to Isaiah, he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And when he saw him, what did he say? Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. He says, woe is me, for I am undone. That's what Isaiah said when he saw the Lord. What about a man named Daniel? What happened to him? He said, when I saw him, there remained no more strength in me. Now we say we're ready for revival. I'm going to tell you something. The pastor of this church is not even ready for revival. We say, Lord, I'm looking for you to do something. And we are, but I'm a little afraid. What is he liable to speak to us? Hello? Look here. The Bible would clearly tell us that when John heard the voice of Jesus, he said, I fell at his feet as dead. He said, I heard him speak and I was afraid. What do you think he was afraid of? I think, first of all, he was afraid in the beginning that God wasn't doing anything about it. Can I get a witness? Don't you look at our nation and you say, sometimes it don't look like the Lord is really doing anything about it. And we pray over our nation that way. And then God comes and says, I am going to do something about it. I'm going to devastate your economy. I'm going to drive this nation to our knees. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Now, don't we say, wait a minute, Lord, wait a minute. Why would you allow foreign countries that we would consider more wicked than us to be used in chastising us? I know we're a Christian nation, Lord. When you started praying about it, you said that we were in sin. Then God says, I'm going to send judgment. And guess what? We get afraid. First of all, we thought he wasn't going to do anything about it. And then when he find out he's been working the whole time, we say, Lord, I think you're doing too much. Hello? Ain't that the truth? Oh, yes, Lord. Send us a revival. Send us what we need, Lord. But don't clamp down on me with it. Hello? Well, that's Habakkuk's place. He's afraid because the Lord spoke to him. Number three, Habakkuk begins to pray. He says, oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. This is the reviving. I need to make a statement to you this morning. I want your attention. Habakkuk heard the Lord speak to him, and he was afraid because I believe he needed a change of heart. He was praying for the nation and thought God wasn't doing anything about it. Then he thought God's doing too much to him, and he's going to do too much about it. Hey, I want to ask Habakkuk, the prophet, the man of God, who does he think he is to say what God should do and what God shouldn't do? Who is he to pour out his complaint against God? And say, Lord, I'm protesting what you're doing. This is not right. This is too much. This is not fair. This is not what we prayed for. You better be careful what you pray for. You see, the man of God needed a change of heart. Prophet Habakkuk needed a change of heart. The church needs a change of heart. Wait a minute, preacher. We're headed in the right direction. Yeah, but he needs a whole lot less of you and more of him. He says, oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. So what he's saying is, Lord, chastisement's coming. I protested, I've murmured, and I'm afraid now. And he gets on his knees and he said, oh Lord, will you revive your work in the midst of the years? You know what reviving is? I watched the paramedics one time. There was a man who collapsed. He was dying. And the paramedics came in with all their bags and all their utensils and all their medical equipment. And they had a red siren on, a flashing and a horn sounding. And they came to where this fellow was. They jumped out, carried all their stuff in, and sat down around him and began to work on him. Now this man was a dying. Now Habakkuk said the work of God is dying. That's what he said. And you know what they started doing? They started doing mouth to mouth, working on his heart. And they got out some paddles and they shocked him. Boom, boom. And I'm telling you, they was in the reviving business. That fella's just about dead. And they didn't work on everybody else there. They went to work on that fella who was just about dead. Paramedics are in the reviving business, if God would bless them to do so. Do you understand? Habakkuk says, our nation looks dead. And now that you said chastisement's coming, what on earth are we going to do? If we're driven away into captivity, how on earth are we going to make it? Oh, God, would you revive your work? Would you come and put the paddles on me? Would you help me? Would you change my heart? Would you change my life? Would you help me to be more faithful? Would you help me to quit complaining? Would you help me to quit murmuring? I'm the man of God, and I've protested to you. He said, would you revive your work, Lord? Would you give us a little bit of life? Revival is giving. It is preserving. It is restoring life. If you're to make somebody alive, it is to quicken them. It is to give them new life. It is God's work, not mine, to revive. Now, understand something, y'all. If you go to about a revival and you start praying about revival, you better know what revival is. If you're in need of revival, you have to say, oh, Lord, I'm a dying. Lord, I need some renewed life. I need some renewed strength. Listen, revival is not excitement. It's not enthusiasm. Revival is the work of God to sustain and preserve and strengthen your life. If you don't get anything else, get this right here. In the book of John, chapter number 5, verse 21. And I promise I'm not lifting this out of context. John 5, 21. Jesus said, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. You see that? Jesus Christ said that as the Father quickens the dead, even the Son of Man quickens whom he will. Boy, we ought to say, oh Lord God, would you quicken me? Amen. Would you make me to come alive? Would you bless the church that I attend? Would you bless the community that I live in? Would you bless the home that I'm a part of? Would you bless the church that I go to? Oh, God, look, we're a dying here, and it's getting worse and worse, and we think salvation's going to come, but it seems like you sit disciplined. But, Lord, I'm not going to protest against you anymore. I'm not going to murmur against you anymore. Oh, God, you already have a plan. You already know. God, just revive your work. Just strengthen it. Just renew it. Just give it new life. Lord, I know it's up to you. You give revival and quicken whom you will. And Lord, I'm praying, would you look down on me and accept me as a candidate for revival? Amen. Jesus said in John 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. That's why I say it's not about your excitement. It's not about your enthusiasm. God bless you, but the flesh profiteth nothing. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Hey, how are we going to have revival? The word of God. There must be a return to the word of God. Say, preacher, I ain't departed from it. Oh, really? Have you done with your reading lately? Have you done with your Bible study? Well, that's up to you. No, it ain't up to me. It's up to you, the individual believer. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You talk to him every day, Lord willing. You ought to be willing to read his word. He communes with you as you commune with him. Our problem is our churches talk about prayer, but they won't do it. Our churches talk about revival, but they don't want to get a part of it. I'm telling you, I'm asking you, I challenge you, bow up on the devil and say, this week, you ain't getting my time. I'm going to give it to Jesus to revive the work in the midst of the years. We need it around here. Well, we see first of all the report. We saw second of all the reality. Third, we see the reviving. Fourthly, Let's see the revealing. He said, "O Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known." Make known. Fourthly, that is a revealing. What do you expect out of revival? Habakkuk's praying. He said, "Lord, we need a revelation. Our churches need a revealing of Jesus Christ's work in our lives." I pray this week that God would make known unto us this reality, this revealing. He would reveal to us our sins and their consequences and make us afraid of them. I pray that God would reveal to you the seriousness of sin, the heinousness of sin, the callousness of being a cold, dead, dried, fizzled out church, amen. Nobody wants to go to one of them places. You can go to any restaurant and get that stuff, amen. We want to be a place that encourages, a place that helps, a place where we can feel the presence of God. A place where someone says, "This is not right, there's sin," and you can go to God and confess your sin and repent and get rid of them by the blood of Jesus Christ. And a place, amen, that would reveal to us our sins, and a place that would make known unto us God's power to save. Hey, he saved 7 last week in revival at Mine Creek. Hey, he's still saving to the uttermost, church. Praise the Lord. We need to know God's power to save. You realize he's still able to lift the fallen? You know he's still able to take the guilty and cleanse them? You realize this morning that he's still able to change the hardest heart? I'm telling you what, some of the hardest hearts are the men of God. The men of God think we got it all figured out. We got a special access. We got special privileges. We're better than everybody else. No, you ain't. Habakkuk needed a change. He needed revival just as much as Israel did, just as much as the church did. I'm telling you what, the pastor needs revival probably more than anybody else. I hope y'all will come tonight to hear Brother Robinson preach to me. Woo! I hope Jesus comes and tells Brother Leonard to preach to Brother Darren because he needs revival. Amen. I wish he'd make known to us the person and the sacrifice of Jesus. That we'd really appreciate just what he's done. Where he's brought us from. How much he loves us. How much he gave up. I wish he'd reveal that to us. He said there in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You think you've got it all figured out, but I can tell you the gospel story, and you'll look me right in the eyeballs and never shed a tear. But I can tell you about a dog that got run over and somebody that took him a little water, and you'll cry and weep and sling a little snot, amen. I'm telling you what, Jesus loves us. He asked a bunch of wretched old sinners, and he gave his life on Calvary's cross that you and I might be set free. And I love him, and I thank you for that this morning. And I pray it make it real again to us how much he loves us. That's what we're needing. Amen. I pray that the Lord would make known unto us the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen. I want to say this to the Lord. I'm not talking to y'all. I want to say, "Lord, teach me the word of God through thy Spirit. Help me, God, to have wisdom. I'm just a child. I don't know how to go out or how to come in. But help me that I might know how to preach, that I might understand the word of God, to teach the people the word." I pray that we'll get an understanding of what the Holy Ghost is doing in the church, what the Holy Ghost is doing in the home, and what the Holy Ghost wants to do in the individual believer's life. Our churches don't want to talk about the Holy Ghost anymore, but we need a revelation of Jesus Christ. We need understanding. I need to understand more about things so I can help others and be helped myself. Last of all, I'm done. He says, "In wrath, remember mercy." I thought about the remembering. He said, "Yes, the judgment of God is coming. I submit to it. I surrender to it. But oh God, would you revive us? Would you sustain us through this judgment? Would you sustain us through the captivity? Oh yes, God, I realize, Lord, that judgment's coming, but we need revival. Oh, we need revealing. We want to know your presence is with us. You said you'd never leave us. You said you'd never forsake us. Lord, I want to know that. I want to see that. I want to feel that in my heart. And last of all, in wrath, remember mercy." He said, "Lord, we deserve wrath. We deserve your judgment. You know what? All have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. I don't care how long you've been saved. You're a candidate for revival. He says, Lord, we deserve wrath, but would you remember mercy? You know what? It was the mercy of God that remembered Noah when he was down there on the boat and all the waters had failed and the entire world was completely flooded and everybody was dead but Noah and his family who believed God. And in mercy, God remembered Noah out there and he allowed the waters to recede and he sustained his family and God revived the whole world through one man who would believe God. Lord, would you give us the mercy? Would you remember the mercy that took Israel through the sea? You know what? They deserved a judgment of God. They deserved to be wiped out. When they came to the edge of the Red Sea and Egypt was breathing down their neck, how are they going to get across? In mercy, God prepared a mighty east wind. Amen. And the water dried up so that the children of Israel crossed over on dry ground and the Egyptian army was drowned in that sea. That was the mercy of God. Those same Israelites wandered 40 years in the wilderness. They were hog-gut sinners. Every one of them died out, but Joshua and Caleb, amen. But guess what? God remembered them in mercy and made a way. Hey, I pray that God would give us the mercy that delivered Lot out of Sodom. And that God would remember mercy that sent the Son of God to Jesus Christ. And the mercy that Jesus extended on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I say this and I'm done. When he got afraid, look at verse 16. When he got afraid, I heard thy speech and I was afraid. He said, when I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at thy voice. Rottenness entered into my bones and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. I'm going to tell you something, church. We need revival. Revival is this. It is God doing it. Again, he saved you. And even though we've let some things slip and we've kind of died down and dwindled down, he can do it again. I want to say, do it again, Lord. Grant unto us an accepting heart. Grant unto us a changed heart. Spare your people, Lord. You stand to your feet. Someone come to the instrument this morning, you'd play softly whatever song the Lord lays on your hearts. Folks are already moving the old-fashioned altar. Wonder if it'd be somebody. You'd just take time this morning to bow and say, oh God, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Oh God, would you reveal some things to me this week? Would you reveal to me the word of God? Would you reveal to me the work of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ's love for me? And Lord, in wrath, would you remember mercy? God, would you look down and remember us this week? God, we don't deserve revival. We don't deserve revival. But would you send it to us this morning? Would you grant it, Lord? Bless the men of God who stand. Might be somebody here, you're listening, say, oh, I tell you, we need revival in our family, preacher. Preacher, we need revival in our church. We need revival in our Sunday school class. We need revival, Lord. And where I work, I tell you, things are terrible. Who will agree with me and say, we need revival in our nation? Oh, it's terrible, preacher. Oh, God, this morning, Father, the truth be known, there's not one of us in this house, Lord, that truly could stand and say, God, that we don't need revival. That we could care less about it. God, the truth is our nation needs a reviving of God. A blind man could see that. But God, revival is conditional. For he said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face. So Lord, it's conditional upon us. Habakkuk was praying, we're praying, Lord. And I pray, God, that in this time, Lord, it was reflection this morning, God, that you'd hear us when we say, God, we need a changed heart. We don't need self-righteousness. We don't need murmuring and complaining, fussing, fighting one another in churches. God, we need the love of God.
We need the help of God. Father, it's a tough, tough journey that we have ahead of us. But God, I pray you'd revive us. I pray, God, you'd reveal to us, Lord, more of your love, more of your sacrifice, more of your grace. Oh, God, we want to know more of these things. God, reveal them to us, Father, and help us. And Lord, remember us in this hour. Oh, God. Lord, we do deserve the judgment of God, the wrath of God. And Lord, we're afraid at that very thought. But God, I pray you'd send mercy. It was mercy, Father, that you extended when you sent your Son to die in our place that we might be saved. And I pray, God, you'd send mercy, Lord, and help us to be revived. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Appreciate your attendance this morning.